Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com. My home is not on this
earth, not in this world. Okay, good evening. Great to have you with us this evening. It's not actually evening, is it? It's afternoon. Sorry, it's just dark. My name's Andy. I'm one of the leaders here at Christ Church Manchester. So a particular welcome to you if you're not normally with us here on a Sunday, but we are here every Sunday. But enough about me anyway. How about you? How Christmassy are you feeling right now? That's what I want to know. That's a pretty resounding... A bit Christmassy, but not that Christmassy. Maybe some people are feeling full of the Christmas spirit, and some people are feeling like they need a little bit more Christmas spirit. But anyway, back to me. I'm participating in Whamageddon. Anyone else? I should explain. Whamageddon is when you get as far as you can through December without hearing Wham's Last Christmas. I actually need your opinion on this, because yesterday I was in a supermarket, and I heard a cover version of Wham's Last Christmas. Am I in? Am I out? What do you think? Yeah, I'm out. Oh, okay. Oh, gutted. Oh, well. Anyway, I'm not participating in Whamageddon, apparently. But being in the Christmas spirit, I think, is something that's kind of expected of us at this time of year, right? In fact, the shops that we go into at this time of year and the adverts that are on TV are all trying to tap into this idea that we're feeling a certain way, that we're in the Christmas spirit. And being in the Christmas spirit is non-negotiable in my house. And by my house, I just mean me and my wife. My wife, Claire, she's a big Christmas enthusiast. Let's put it that way. That's putting it quite lightly. Claire is obsessed with Christmas. She loves Christmas and everything there is to love about Christmas. She loves making the house look beautiful with all the decorations and blasting Christmas music through the speakers from what feels a bit like September. This year, no word of a lie, in July, Claire said, is it okay to play O Come, O Come, Emmanuel? The answer is no. Just obsessed with everything there is to love about Christmas. And I'm expected, of course, to be in the Christmas spirit too. If I'm not, then Claire looks at me like I've kicked a puppy. It's not acceptable not to be in the Christmas spirit. I wonder if you feel that with your friends, with your family as well. Well, I wonder if maybe at this time of year right now, the spirit you're in, what you're feeling, the thing that's vying for your emotional attention is actually not Christmas. Maybe it's something else. Maybe something else is really weighing you down right now. Maybe because this time of year tends to be a little bit expensive, maybe you're worried about money and going deeper into that overdraft or further onto that credit card. Maybe you're worried about family stuff, because actually, while Christmas is a great time for a lot of families at Christmas, it's a really difficult time for lots of other families as well. Maybe that's a burden for you right now. Maybe, like the rest of Britain, you're thinking, really, another general election? Do we have to? Maybe that's weighing on your mind right now. There are all sorts of other things vying for our attention, all sorts of things that might sap away this Christmas spirit. But I think the problem with this Christmas spirit I've been describing, that's based on things like Whamageddon and gifts and the John Lewis advert and all these things, is that what this is it's quite a fickle feeling, actually. It's quite a temporary feeling, this kind of Christmas spirit, because you might do your very best to be in the Christmas spirit for the whole of December. And then December's over, and where's the Christmas spirit gone? It's gone, you have to leave it behind. January's just miserable. What happens when Christmas is over? An English author named Harlan Miller said, "I wish we could put some of the Christmas spirit in jars and open a jar of it every month. Wouldn't that be nice? Actually, I think we need a Christmas spirit that brings us joy and fulfillment beyond the Christmas season, actually beyond December, into the rest of the year, something a little bit more sustainable." I want us to have a little think about this idea of Christmas spirit. As we look at the first ever Christmas, 2,000 years ago in kind of the Israel-Palestine area, and we're looking at the story of two very normal people who receive some big news and end up having a baby, spoiler alert. And we're going to think about what the Christmas spirit might have been for these people. What kind of emotions did they experience? What kind of moods might they have been in? Let's think first about Mary. Mary, who gets the privileged position of being the mother of Jesus. What kind of emotions might she have experienced at the first Christmas? What was her Christmas spirit? Because if you read the story, you see that actually the first emotion that Mary probably feels when she's been out going about her day as normal and she gets home and there's this shiny man sitting in her living area and he suddenly tells her that she's going to have a baby despite the fact that she's never done the thing you need to do to have a baby. The first emotion she feels must be shock, right? It's like, what? Really? Is that shock that she experiences when this angel starts speaking to her, the Christmas spirit? Is that what the Christmas spirit is? Is it shock? A few verses later in that passage we heard earlier, Mary kind of comes to terms with what's going on and what's going to happen. She begins to realize she's in an incredible position, that God has given her a huge blessing, and she begins to rejoice. It says in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 47, these are Mary's words, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Mary tells us exactly how she's feeling. She's full of joy. Is that joy the Christmas spirit? Is there even more to it than that? Because Mary says, "I'm full of joy, so what I'm going to do is glorify the Lord." She says, "I'm going to worship because I'm full of joy." Is that worship the Christmas spirit? Let's move on to think about Mary's husband-to-be, whose name is Joseph. Joseph, who's engaged to be married to Mary and then starts hearing rumours around the village. Rumours that Mary's become pregnant. And Joseph starts thinking, hang on a minute, that doesn't make sense. That's not something that's happened because of me. And he comes to the only other logical inclusion, the emotion he feels first there is some kind of disappointment. Thinking, oh man, Mary's been unfaithful to me. Is that disappointment the Christmas spirit? Maybe that's something you're feeling right now. As he starts to process this and starts thinking about what might happen, and then he and Mary have a conversation, she says, look, I'm pregnant by God, by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. And Joseph has to process that in a place of confusion. Is that confusion the Christmas spirit? And an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says, Joseph, Mary hasn't been unfaithful to you. She really is pregnant with the Son of God. Marry her. Raise the child. Be the legal father of the Son of God. Joseph wakes up, and it says in Matthew 1:24, when he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph decides to trust. He's going to trust that what God's saying is true. He's going to trust that what Mary is saying is true. He's going to trust that what the angel is saying is true. Is that trust the Christmas spirit? That trust moves him to obey, to do what he's told, to do what God has asked him to do through this angel. Is that obedience the Christmas spirit? So many things going on at this first Christmas. If we fast forward through the story a little bit, Mary and Joseph end up having to go sort of about 70 miles to the town of Bethlehem, where Joseph's family are from, where his family historically from. And they've got to go there because there's a census that says they have to go there and be counted so they can be taxed more. It's not ideal. And they go, and Mary's heavily pregnant at this point. And according to that song we just sang, there's snow on snow on snow on snow everywhere. Picture the scene. I mean, it's the Middle East, really. But... there you go. And they have to travel these 70 miles. And when they get to Bethlehem, there's no room for them to stay. There's no room in any of the guest houses. But we've got to remember, the whole of Joseph's family would have been there. But none of them will put up Mary and Joseph. They end up taking shelter in an animal's feeding area. And when the baby is born, spoiler alert, when the baby is born, they lay him in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. Now, when a baby is born, something really important is who you first invite to come and see that baby. The people who are first invited to come and see the baby are in a position of honor, right? They're in a position of privilege to be invited first. When baby Jesus is born, the people that are invited first to come and see him are not royalty, and they're not even Mary and Joseph's family. They're people who represent some of the lowest jobs in society, some of the lowest status in society, who work a job out in the fields, whose main company is sheep. Shepherds. What was the Christmas spirit for the shepherds? Angels appear to shepherds. There's a lot of angels in this story. And angels appear to the shepherds in their field. They're sitting there washing their socks by night, you know, as the carol goes. And all of a sudden, angels appear in the sky singing. And the shepherds are terrified. That's what it says in the story. It says, fear gripped them. Is that fear, the Christmas spirit? And the shepherds begin to come to terms with what's going on. And the angels say, don't be afraid. And the shepherds go, okay. And they're sort of shying away from these angels. And they begin to come to terms with the fact they don't need to be afraid. And they begin to realize they've been asked to go and visit the king that God had sent, that God had promised he would send, has been born. And they've been invited to go and visit him. They realize they are honored. They are blessed. Is that honor the Christmas spirit? Then in Luke 2:15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. They scoop up a lamb to take as a gift. That's not in the Bible, but it's a nice image. And they go to Bethlehem and they run there because they're excited to see what God has got in store. They're excited to see the fulfillment of the promises God has been making. Is that excitement the Christmas spirit? Finally, what about the magi or the wise men who travel miles and miles, much further than the 70 miles that Mary and Joseph have traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and they travel all this way following a star, knowing that something at the end of the star is going to be incredible, not entirely knowing what they're going to come across, but following the star. Is that sense of perseverance the Christmas spirit? Along their way, as they're just approaching the end of the star's journey, the magi stumble across King Herod. King Herod's a baddie in the story. King Herod is murderous. He doesn't like the idea that there would be another king who'd topple him from his throne, so he organizes to have the king killed. He wants to kill the baby Jesus. And the magi know this. So later on, when Herod says, tell me where he is so I can go and worship him as well, the magi lie to Herod and they go home via another route. It takes great courage to do that, right? To lie to this powerful king. Is that courage the Christmas spirit? And the magi eventually reach the house where the baby Jesus has been born. And they see this meager, humble dwelling, whether it be a stable or a cave or an animal feeding area of some kind, whatever it may be. They arrive there and they think, really? Is this the place this new king has been born? And they run inside and fall to their knees. Matthew 2:11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts fit for a king. They recognize that the baby lying in the manger is holier and greater and a whole lot more important than they are. One word for that is reverence. Is that reverence the Christmas spirit? And when they open their packs and give him the best of what they've brought with them, that's generosity. Is that generosity the Christmas spirit? What I've wanted to get across to you is the just wealth of emotions experienced at that first Christmas. The number of different things that were going on. And is one of them the Christmas spirit? Is one of them the way we're supposed to feel? I wonder which one of those is calling out to you right now. I wonder which one of those rings truest for you. But there's one thing that united all of those things, one thing that brought them all together, one thing that kept the major players in the story going on and on and on, in a story that's actually really challenging and difficult, with twists and turns all the time. What was it that caused Mary to boldly step into the plan that God had for which he was going to use her? What caused Joseph to believe the angel's words, to marry Mary? What caused the shepherds to leave their flocks and run to Bethlehem? What caused the magi to follow a star for thousands of miles? Well, as these visitors arrive at the place where Jesus has been born, they gather round and they look into the manger, and what they see is hope. What they see is hope. Here are just some of the things that were said about Jesus. To Joseph, an angel said in Matthew 1:21, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Not a single one of us has lived up to God's standards of perfection on our own. Yet there is hope here that God has sent a Savior who can rid us of our sin and make us appear perfect before God. He will save his people from their sins. That is hope. To Joseph again, an angel quotes Isaiah 7:14 and says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There is hope that at every twist and turn of our lives, just like at every twist and turn of the Christmas story, God is with us. We are not alone, even when we may feel we are. It's hope. To Mary, an angel says in Luke 1:32, we heard it a second ago, "Your son will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." The baby lying in a manger is going to establish a kingdom that will never end, but a kingdom that, unlike every other kingdom of the earth that has ever existed, will have no pain or suffering or death. The kingdom of God. And Jesus was going to provide the ticket to the kingdom of God. Jesus, who was God's promised Savior. Jesus, who was born of a virgin, to be born in a way that no one else can be born. Who lived a life that was perfect and without sin, to model what it means to be a human being in relationship with God. Who died on a cross, a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Who rose from the dead, leaving death behind him as he walked out of the grave, so that anyone who believes in him might also have eternal life, and who ascended to heaven to bridge the gap between us and the Father God. And in John 1:12, and this is the way that the author of the fourth gospel, John, tells the nativity story, he says this: "To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That is good news. That is news that is full of hope. That is a Christmas spirit that isn't dependent on presents and trees and decorations and baubles and Wham and Mariah Carey and all these things. That's a Christmas spirit that's dependent on that baby in a manger who would go on to save the world. That's a Christmas spirit that can bring us joy and bring us hope beyond Christmas. Not just for December. Not just for December the 25th. Not just for January through to November, but that can bring us a hope for eternity. Well, that's good news. I want to invite you to share in that Christmas spirit this year. Merry Christmas.